Good morning. I'm Dale. What an honor to stand here in this place. There are so many of you who I do not know. A lot of you I've never met before. And it thrills my heart. I want to thank you for being the church that you are and that you're becoming. Thank you for loving this place and for loving each other. Thank you for being the kind of people that when I go out all over the world every week, I get to tell them about this place that I miss. Larry knows this. I send him a text almost every Sunday. And I either say in the text, I miss you, I really miss you, or I really, really, really miss you, depending on what the singing's like. But even when I say I miss you and it's not that bad, I really miss you. Thank you for letting me get to be a part of this family. Thank you for your giving that is part of what helps us do our work. This church supports the work that my brother Jeff and I do through the Jenkins Institute. Thank you for that. And on behalf of Melanie, I want to say thank you for your prayers for her dad. I got this text from her last night. She said, I miss you. I hate I won't be at Spring Meadows tomorrow. I know you'll do great. Thank you. Thank them for their love and prayers and support for me and my family. Her dad is doing remarkably well. Thank you for your prayers for him. He is scheduled to go home Wednesday, but they said yesterday he's so far ahead of schedule, it is possible he'll go home Monday. She told me not to post this, but she didn't tell me not to tell you. So don't post this, okay? He's talking some already, which is way ahead of where he should be. So thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for this opportunity. Chuck, thank you for letting me preach today. Elders, thank you for allowing me this time. I have been at Spring Meadows, I think, 4, possibly 5 times in the 4 years. We will begin next month our 4th year of this work on Sunday morning. And I'm blessed that once a year I get to stand up and talk from this pulpit. Thank you so much. If you've got a Bible, open to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I hope you have a Bible and I hope you'll study along with us today. I was in Rome a few months ago and I was walking out of the elevator, out of the hotel that Tom Campbell had recommended that I stay in. And the lady at the desk said, here's an umbrella. You're going to need this. Umbrellas. Some of you are umbrella people. I am not an umbrella person. Some of you are. My wife has 5 umbrellas. Unless she is with me, unless not counting when she's been with me, this is the only time I've opened an umbrella without her present in probably 20 years. I am not an umbrella person. But some people are umbrella people, aren't they? There are a lot of umbrella people in this world. People like umbrellas. I like the penguin. Umbrellas. They say something to us. I did a little study. Umbrellas, there are different names for umbrellas. They're called parasols. Those are the fancy umbrellas. Sunshades, brolies in England. They're called bumper shots. I have no idea where that one came from. I guess you could play pool with them. I don't know. They're called protectorships. That's the one we're going to kind of focus on today. It means a protection, a shield. And my question today is, do you use an umbrella? And I use that phrase in life. Do you use an umbrella in life. In a deeper sense, what umbrella are you under? Umbrellas can represent, in a beautiful way, authority. They serve as a protection for us. What umbrella are you under? Get under the umbrella. The umbrella is God's authority. When we get under His authority, everything in our life gets a whole lot better. When we're under His authority, He will show us what is under our authority. And until you get under His authority, you really can't know what is under your authority. Authority. I know. Some of you heard that word and you winced a little bit. You don't like that word, authority. In your mind, it represents rules and guidelines and limitations and curfews and taxes. But in God's authority, umbrellas, in God's economy, authority is a good thing. It's a very positive thing in God's economy. I go around, some of you know, I go around, and what I do is one of the things I do is I train guys to stand up and preach. And one of the things I tell them when we do quick lists, sometimes we'll do 10 lists of things that help you be a better preacher. And one of the things I tell them is, if you smile when you say something, people take it a whole lot better. You ever know that? Words that we don't like. If you smile when you say them, they're not as bad. Practice it with me. Smile for me. Authority. Can you say it with me? Smile. Authority. See, isn't that bad? You can do it one more time. Authority. See, if you smile, it's not that bad a word. You see, the reality is that when we talk about God's authority, we talk about something really good. Some of you here, and I'm not pointing fingers, I don't even know, but some of you here have authority issues. It comes from different sources. It may come from a bad experience somewhere in your life. For many people, the first authority in our life is our parents. And if our parents didn't parent us like we wish they had parented us, sometimes that authority for the rest of our life, we put on every other authority. Today, and since about the 1960s, it's been cool to not be under authority, to be a rebel, to dislike authority. It's been very in vogue to dislike authority. You know, authority is oftentimes given to us. Anybody watch any football last night? Anybody? All right. I hope your team lost. In about 3 hours, they're going to announce who makes the playoffs. And if Alabama doesn't make it, I want everybody to lose in the first round. No cussing in church. Do you know who has more authority on that field than anybody else? It's not that stud fullback that can bench press 400 pounds. It's not that 375-pound lineman. It's that squeaky voice guy that's short and he's in nylon shirt that has white stripes on it. He's got a flag in his pocket and he takes that flag and he throws it in the air and the 375-pound guy can't argue. Well, he can argue, but it won't do any good. He has subjugated authority. He has authority from someone else. All the authority that we have in life is from someone else. And God has placed authority figures in our lives in places. As a parent, I have authority over my children. Some of you need to know that. As a parent, you have authority over children. Now, I don't have authority over other people's children. You ever been in a grocery store and wished that you could punish the other children in the grocery store like you can punish your own? I have. Said. But you'll go to jail for that, okay? You have designated authority. The authority you have is not your own authority, except that it was given to you by someone else. Police officers have authority. There are different kinds of authority out there under the umbrella. Why be under the umbrella? Some of you got outlines today. I did not make enough. I didn't know there were going to be 750 people here today. You know me, you know what that means. It means there's 300. What or why be under authority? Why be under authority? Let me give you four quick reasons. Number one, be under authority because there is protection from the storms of life when we're under the authority of God. There's care. Listen, not if, but when the storms of life come into your life, you're going to need some authority in your life. You're going to need someone in your life that's over you and more powerful than you are. Into every life, a little rain must fall. And when that storm comes, if you have an umbrella to protect you from the rain, you'll be a whole lot better off than if you don't. It protects us from the emotional strains of life. There's tremendous care. Not all authority in life cares for you. But the authority of God will always be authority that cares for you. Number two, there is a shade, a cloak, so to speak. Not all umbrellas are designed to keep the rain from us. Some umbrellas are designed to keep the sun off of us. And listen very carefully. When in your life, the heat of this world begins to turn up on you, and there will be times when it does, you need a true place of sanctuary. You need somewhere you can go where you'll be shielded from the sun of life. Number four. Number three. There's community. Under the umbrella, there's community. Now, this is beautiful, isn't it? How many people can you get under an umbrella? You ever been out in the rain and you don't have an umbrella and someone near you has one and they say, come on over here? You appreciate those people, don't you? Especially if they showered that day. It's nice to share an umbrella. Under God's community, under God's umbrella, there is community. I've said this many times through the years. Are you listening carefully? There's not a thing that you will experience in your life that someone in this audience has not experienced it before in some form. And one of the real reasons for this community is so that when you go through that, they have been through it and they can tell you, A, it will be okay. B, you can make it through it. And C, God will see you through it. You need people of faith in your community that help you when life storms come. Number four, under the umbrella, there is accountability or constrainment. We don't like this one at all, but there is. There's constrainment. We need some constraints in our life. We need some constraints in our life. Now, just so you'll know, that word constrainment is not a real word. I made it up. I do that from time to time. We need borders, barriers in our life to show us how life is best lived. Life for people who are married is best lived with one wife. With one husband, without all the drama that multiple partners bring in to life. Every study that's ever been done has found that to be true. You live longer, you're happier, you make more money, your family, your personal life, your blood pressure is lower. You need life without the DUIs. You need barriers. You need somebody that helps you be accountable. Somebody that says, I've been down that path, and if you keep going down that path, it's not going to lead somewhere good. Watch it. You need somebody that's in your life that says to you, listen, there's a reason why the Bible says not to do that. I did it, and it didn't turn out well. Or I didn't do it, and look how life turned out. You need life without the unmitigated guilt. You need people who can look you in the eye and can help you and say, don't go there. We need accountability. Under the umbrella, there is accountability. Now, what does it mean to be under the umbrella? The first part of this sermon is kind of simple, but now it's going to get very, very challenging to you. Because it is very popular in our world today to thumb our nose at authority or to not understand authority. We are much better in our land at being over things. We are taught to be independent. We are taught to be people who don't like other people telling us what to do. We are free people under the tyranny of none. My wife was teaching a children's Bible class here years ago. The family involved is no longer anywhere near here. The girl who was in first grade got on the table and started dancing around in the middle of class, and my wife said, get off the table, Lily. That wasn't her name. That would confuse her, I'm sure, but you don't need to know her name. Get off the table, Lily. And she said, you can't make me. My wife said, I thought, you know, I could make her. And she said, but I need you to get off the table. She said, no one tells me what to do but my parents. We like to be free. We like to teach our children, live your life. Do what you want to do. Do what makes you happy. You do you, we say. We don't like being under authority in our world. And it works well in some instances. When it comes to creativity, when it comes to industry, when it comes to a lot of areas in life, being independent has helped us a whole lot. That is true. But it's not true when it comes to God. The Bible says it this way. The way of man is not in himself. It is not in man's ability to walk, to direct his own steps. He doesn't say you can't direct your own steps. He says it's not in your ability. You'll mess up if you spend your whole life thinking, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live my life. God says we are to be under His authority. So I want to give you four areas of authority that God talks about. Four areas of authority. This is point number two. You're welcome. We are under His authority. You see, He is sovereign. And only He is sovereign. I love the way the psalmist wrote, our God is in heaven and He does whatever He wants to do. Whatever He pleases. He has no limits. He has no one over Him. No one instructs the Lord, as we sang a few minutes ago. There's no one like Him. How great is our God. We love to sing about the authority of God. Larry, what was the song I told you I was going to mention? No. I said I was going to mention a song that we sang. It was a really good song. It was No Other Gods. We love to sing about it. I will have no other gods before. See, that's why I don't sing. Before me, before you, right? We like to sing about it. But when it comes to reality, sometimes it's hard. I like the way it's expressed in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. When God made this promise to Abraham, the promise back in Genesis chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 12, chapter 20, chapter 25 to Abraham's children. When God makes this promise to Abraham, I will bless those that bless you, I will curse those that curse you. In you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. When God made that promise to Abraham, the Hebrew writer said, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. There's nobody else God could look to. There is no one else like him. He is sovereign. We are under his authority. He's sovereign, and we need a savior. Those two go hand in hand. It's important that we understand that the reason we come to him is because he's sovereign and we need a savior. That's why James will say, submit yourselves to God. That's why John will write, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. He'll go on and say, his commandments are not grievous. Aren't we thankful that we have an authority in our life that doesn't give us silly commands? Let's talk about this here. Before we go any further, We need to talk about what it means to be under the umbrella. What does it mean to be under the authority of another? Number one, it means, or it is not, being under if we do what he says until we think we know better. It's not being under the authority of God is not doing what we think he says to do until we think we know better. It is not doing what we think he would do, he would want us to do, when he's clearly told us what to do. I hear people say, you know, God just wants me to be happy. Give me book, chapter, and verse of that one. God developed a world where you could become holy, become like him. And yes, his happiness is, your happiness is in his wheelhouse. He's interested in your happiness, but he's much more interested in your holiness. And a lot of people get in their mind, you know, the old thing that went on back in the 80s, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Bumper sticker say. That's a great mentality until we begin to think that we are God, and it starts looking an awful lot of the time like what he would do is what we think he would do because it's what would make us happy. Does that make sense? So it's going to make me happy, so I'm sure it'll make God happy. Regardless of what his word said, I'm going to do what I want to do because I think he wants me to be happy. And it's not looking out for our own happiness and therefore what we think of it. It is not following God until culture changes and then doing what we want to do. It is not following God as long as it is convenient for us to follow God. That was not on the screen, but I thought about it this morning. But on my way to church, Larry, everything that could go bad went bad. I'm a 20-minute early guy. I was 5 minutes late today. Now, that's not 5 minutes Spring Meadows time. I got here at 9:05. I was 5 minutes late. I ran to Walmart because I did not like the black umbrella I had, and I bought another umbrella. I like that one better. It's a little brighter. And then I got behind a guy. And he was going really, really, really slow. I think he's here. I'm falling behind this guy. And I get up here to Commonwealth and Duplex. And the light was green. And Jerry, he stopped at a green light. And then it turned red. And he sat there. You know what I wanted to do? No. I wanted to pass him and run the light. And it actually went through my mind. I'm late for church. I have an excuse here. I'm going to pass him. I'm going to go around him. And sitting to my right, third car back, coming through the light that was green, was a police car. I changed my mind. But you see, a lot of times, being under authority to us is, I'll be under authority as long as it doesn't inconvenience me. But being under the authority of God does not mean being under his authority as long as it doesn't inconvenience me. It's being under his authority regardless of what happens, regardless of what comes in life, regardless of how it makes you feel, regardless, it means being under God's authority. Somebody says, but you know, it's accepted in our culture. It's accepted that people will lie a little bit. Yes, it is in our culture. It's accepted that teenagers will have sex before they get married. Yes, it is accepted in our culture. It's accepted that people will get divorced for any reason they want to get divorced for and jump out of one marriage and into another for any reason they want to. Yes, it is accepted. It's accepted that people sometimes use profanity in their language. Yes, it is accepted in our culture. It's accepted that bosses can be mean to their employees and that fellow employees can be rude to each other. Yes, it is accepted in our culture. But the Bible says we are to be above culture as Christians. We're to be different than this world. Peter writes that we're to be a peculiar people. And while I don't like that old King James wording there, it's right. We'll be different than the folks around us. Yes, the world accepts this, but no, God does not. And being under his authority means that when culture changes, I don't. That when society changes, I don't. This is going to get hard, okay? Just get ready. Being under the authority is trusting His revealed will and His way at times, even when it may not make any sense to us. Even when I may not understand it. So under His authority. Church. Go to the church that makes you happiest. I am so very thankful that this is a happy church. And I pray with all my heart that it always will be. But some of you, a lot of you, are not going to live in Spring Hill the rest of your life. You're going to move somewhere else. And if you choose your church only based upon it makes me happy, you're going to choose a church that is not doing things God's way. There's something bigger than your happiness when it comes to church. Being under His authority, let's talk about salvation for a minute. Oh, but baptism doesn't really make sense. That baptism is an act that takes you from lost to saved, that you're baptized into Christ and the blood of Christ washes away your sins, Romans chapter 6. That it is necessary for salvation, Matthew chapter 28. That is the first thing that Peter told them to do after they confessed Jesus in Acts chapter 2 on the birthday of the church. All that goes above the idea of it doesn't make sense. Sometimes God says things that don't make sense to us, but if we're under His authority, if we're under His umbrella, where there's protection, where there's care, then we will do what He says even when it doesn't make sense to us on this earth. And I don't know, but some of you here, you've been baptized, but one for the forgiveness of sins. And every baptism in the New Testament is for the forgiveness of sins. You're not under His authority. You say, well, but you know, I'm pleased with my baptism. I know it's not what God said exactly, but I liked what I did, and my preacher liked it, and my former church liked it, and my parents liked it, and everybody liked it, so it must be all right. Are you under His authority or under your own authority? What about when it comes to worship? Oh, but culture's changed. And we ought to let women preach because, you know, when Paul wrote 1 Timothy, women didn't preach. It's interesting, the very people that say that try to use Paul's writing in Galatians 6, and they try to use Phoebe, and they try to use Philip's daughters that prophesied as proof that you can preach. Isn't it funny how they'll say in one breath Paul said you can't do it and Paul was a person of his culture, and the next breath they'll try to justify it by using Paul? The Bible's pretty clear on this one. We could go on and on. The question is, am I going to be under the authority of God? Under His authority. It's an old illustration. I remember my dad giving it years ago. He said, a father left his son 40 acres of land in his will. And in the blueprints he left for the property, he said, here's what I want you to do with the land. He said, I want you to build a house right here. It just makes sense to build a house right here. And the son looked at it and said, that makes sense. He said, I want you to build a well. This is a long time ago. I want you to build a well. My dad didn't preach when that, well, maybe he did. I want you to build a well over here. And the son said, well, that makes sense. Let's build a well there. And he said, you should build a barn over here. And the son looked at it and he said, you know, really, I think the barn will work better over here. So he built a barn over there. Did he do what his dad told him to do when he built the house, when he built the well? No, he did not. He did what he wanted to do. Being under authority says, I will do what God says to do, even when it's difficult, even when it's hard, even when it's challenging. I will not be perfect on it. I'm going to make mistakes. This isn't calling for a sinless life. You won't reach that on this earth, but it is calling for a life that says, I'm going to do the will of God. I'm under His authority. Number two, the second parameter that God has given is the authority of the state. The authority of the state. Romans chapter 13, you know the verse. It's been mentioned a couple of times lately. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which is established by God. The authorities exist have been established by God. God has said to you and to me that we're under the authority of the state, that he established that. And I would remind us that he wrote that when Rome was in power, and the people he wrote it to were, in all likelihood, the majority of them, enslaved to Rome. They had no interest in Christianity. They had no interest in God. They thought their Caesar was God. They killed baby girls just for the sport of it. Homosexuality ran rampant in that culture. But he said, you are under the authority of that government. Disciples will say in Acts chapter 5, we must obey God rather than man. Well, why did I bring that up? For this very simple reason. I'm under the authority of the state, but I'm only under the authority of the state as far as the state stays under the authority of God. If the state tells me to do something God has told me not to do, I don't do it. God is the ultimate authority. They're a subjugated authority. They're an under authority. And if the state says do this and it's against God's will, I'm not going to do it. But that doesn't excuse me from doing anything that God has said, except for the government has said, except for that thing. It doesn't mean I can say, because the government allowed this, I'm going to do everything they said not to do. It only gives you authority to do what they said to do that God did not, or to not do what they said to do what God said to do. That was a great sentence. I speak for a living. Paul writes to Timothy and he says that we're to pray for those in authority. For kings, for rulers, governing authorities. We're to pray so that we can live quiet and peaceable lives with all subjectivity, with all godliness and holiness. I've seen some people post. I don't think I've seen anyone here post it. Psalm 109, verse 8, when President Obama was in office, let his days be few and let another take his office. That's what I'm praying for him, they would say. They thought it's kind of cute. That is not cute. That's ungodly. That's sinful. The first presidential race I voted in was the first race of 1980. I've voted in every one since. I don't think it's a sin not to vote, but I vote. I have that freedom in our culture. So I take that freedom. I like to vote. There have been a number of times over those last 44 years where the guy I voted for is not the guy that got elected. But when the guy got elected, he was my president, and I was under his authority. And some of them, I did not like their politics at all, but I was still under their authority. To taunt the president because we don't like their policies unless those policies go against God's word is wrong. I did not vote for James Buchanan. By most people considered the worst president that ever lived, 1961 is when he went out of office, I believe. I didn't vote for him, but he was president. Now, hear me well. I'm not saying we have to do what the government says do when the government tells us to do something God told us not to do, but I am saying we're under that authority until then. Remember what being under authority means. Not as long as I agree with him or I voted for him or I like him under his authority. Being under the authority. That doesn't mean it's a sin to disagree. It doesn't mean it's a sin to campaign against them or to protest peacefully. We have that freedom in our country. Our law allows that freedom. But if you go beyond that, you're stepping outside of the will of God, even if you don't like the guy. Number three, we're under the authority of shepherds in the local church. Paul and Barnabas go back after they planted the first congregations outside of the nucleus of Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And as soon as they went back to those churches, they appointed elders. And Paul says there are to be elders in every congregation to have elders. We are under the authority of those men the Bible calls elders or shepherds. If I'm a part of a church, I'm under their authority. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 says, obey them who have rule over you. Or as the NIV says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, for they are accountable to God. This one, folks, is challenging, church. It's challenging. Most of us do not like being under the authority of elders. some man that we know telling us what to do. But this is God's plan and God's command. Somebody says, well, I just want place membership. Somebody comes along and says, I don't like what the elders said, so I'm not going to be a member of that church. Well, you have that freedom, I suppose. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Number two, some people say, I don't like their decisions. In a matter of opinion, I don't like their decisions. I'll do what I want instead of what they want. I had someone in this church one time walk out of an elders meeting, and they walked out of the elders meeting. They said on the way out, I know what they told me to do, but I'll do what I want to do. I don't like their decisions. In a matter of opinion, I'll go somewhere else. And Church Hopping 101 is a special class given in Middle Tennessee, isn't it? Listen carefully. I've made the mistake of saying that one. If you're not happy here, just find somewhere you'll be happy. If you don't like what the elders said, just find somewhere that you like. What I found is we like to discount or turn off hard truths. Listen to this hard truth. If I leave because I don't like something that's not a matter of right or wrong, it is not just finding a place that fits me. When I leave and I say it's my way or no way, I have stopped being under the authority, the umbrella of God's authority. I just don't like it. Part of learning to be under authority is learning to be under authority that sometimes you don't like, whether it's God's authority, the government's authority, or the congregation's authority. And it's real easy to say, I just didn't like it, so I'm going to find somewhere else to be. I see it all the time in our world, in our culture, in our land, in our city, in our state. I see it all the time, right here. I don't know that you have that authority. Because if you're under their authority and they say, here's the way we're going to do it, and you leave just because you don't want to be under their authority, you are no longer doing what God says, you're doing what you want to do. Just like the son that built the barn in the place he wanted to build the barn. Well, it's been a good run working with you. I'm going now, aren't I? Rubicon too far. That doesn't mean it's a sin to disagree with elders. That doesn't mean that it's wrong to not like what they said, but it is a sin to be divisive or to stir up strife over a matter of opinion. Number four, there's authority in the family. That's the authority God put there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, submit to one another out of the reverence for Christ. A couple of verses later, wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Oh, Brother Dale, culture has changed. I don't like that word. I don't like that verse. Guess what? I'll be honest with you. I'm not too crazy about it either. I don't get to change it. A couple of chapters later, somebody's going to say, yeah, but culture's changed, hasn't it? A couple of verses later, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, children, obey your parents to the Lord. I'm a young adult now. I don't have to do what my parents say. If you're still under their roof, you're still under their authority. Unless they tell you to do something God hadn't told you to do, you're still under their authority, whether you like that or not. Remember, we're under the umbrella. That does not cover any authority being over His authority. Quickly, so what? So what? It's not always easy to be under the umbrella. It's worth it. There are blessings under the umbrella. Under the umbrella, you'll discover what's under you. Under the umbrella, there is security. Under the umbrella, there is health. Under the umbrella, there is growth. It's worth it to be under the umbrella. It's worth it to stay under the umbrella. All the good things in life. And it's my prayer that you will know the joy of being under the authority of God. Well, I told Chuck right before I got up here, I hope I don't do any harm. I pray with all my heart I have not. But I do hope this has challenged you some to think about being under authority, because some of us struggle with authority. Today, if you're not a Christian, you're not under the authority of God any longer. You're doing things your way instead of His way. If we can help you, will you come to Him? Confess your belief in Him. Repent of your sins. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And if you've lived your life as a renegade, living by your own authority instead of His authority, you need to talk to God about that. There might be others in your life, like parents or spouse, or elders that you need to talk to about it. But you need to make it right, because under the umbrella is where to be. If we can help you, will you come as together we stand to sing?